This is Everyday Wealth with award-winning journalist Soledad O'Brien and personal finance expert Gene Chatsky.
What's buying the dip?
So this year, the S&P has already fallen 16%. That's the worst start in a century.
The theory is this is the low of the market. This is the most opportune to buy while it's on sale with the hopes that it goes up in the future, the dip. The conversations I'm having with clients are, is this the dip? Could it go down more? Or are there other alternatives to buying into the dip?
Would you say that this is a good environment to go forward?
A lot of clients I'm having conversation with is they've been doing it on a regular basis. They have enough hold back in cash because cash is paying nothing. They've already started it. I think some of it, though, is having the conversation on, are you going to be using these dollars in the near term? Because that's always my fear on, these need to be long-term dollars if you're buying into the dip, because if it's a short-term mindset, you're more likely to get it wrong more often than right.
What I think is that we're seeing so much more volatility this time around that this dip buying strategy has gotten complicated. It used to be you would have a very clear dip and the dip would sort of pause and you would know that you would have a chance to get in. And now the numbers have gotten so big, the markets are rocketing up by close to 1,000 points in a trading session, at least several hundred points in a trading session. It makes it more difficult to know where the dips are, which is why I think instead of seeing headlines that say people are buying the dips, we're seeing headlines that say, should people buy the dips? Where are the dips? You know, is this strategy even viable anymore?
What I've seen, I think smaller retail investors are the ones that are really looking at this strategy. And it is that should they or shouldn't they? And I always try and remind people that the beauty about the market is every year, going back to the 60s, there's always been some inner year drawdown that I think the last number I saw was average about 14%. So I agree. It feels different. It feels more volatile. But if you're of the opinion that this is a buying opportunity, let's think through how you're doing it is the priority. And I'm trying to remind people, it's like, if you're going to be doing this strategy, you have to think of it as this isn't an all or none conversation. It should be, what percentage are you doing in a globally diversified portfolio? If you have this play account, realize how much of this play account that you're buying into and how bad could it get in that buying the dip. So really, it's the distinction between your long money and your play money.
When we talk about dollar cost averaging, Jason, when we talk about, you know, people putting money into the markets with every paycheck through their 401ks or once a month through an automatic investment account, don't they automatically buy the dips? Isn't that strategy a way of ensuring that you are buying the markets at all levels?
And that's what I love about the 401k, because really, if you get paid twice a month, you get 24 opportunities. I do have some clients where when they think we're in a buying environment, they turn up how much they're doing, right? So instead of trying to max fund their 401k by December, they try and do it over a six-month period, or they increase it. So they're changing the automatic nature because they know if you're under 50, they're going to cut you off at 20,500. You don't even have to think about that. A lot of the conversations I'm having with clients are those who are regularly doing that with their 401k. They don't want to make any changes. We're talking about their outside accounts, and I try and remind them, well, the same way your 401k does a dollar cost averaging, you can create your own little manual dollar cost averaging into a brokerage account. I'm a big believer in making the math simple. So I say, if you have this extra amount of money and you think the market's going to be volatile for 10 months, do 10 small bite-sized pieces. You've now created your own shortened dollar cost average. If along that 10-month period, you get really, really excited because the market's way, way down, you can add more in addition to your normal dollar cost averaging strategy.
We've seen a lot of action over the past year with retail investors, and particularly retail investors with social media and meme stocks, right? The AMCs, the GameStops of the world. And I think retail investors got this inflated sense of their own power, right? They got this sense that, hey, you know, if we talk about this on Reddit and then we encourage everybody to either hold on or get in or get out, we can move markets. Where does all of that play into the conversation about buying the dip?
So I have some clients who just love to follow the markets, and they love all that technical data. So if they like following those numbers, I'll say, use that as your governor. I tend to say, let's make this a much more boring conversation, right? We're not trying to buy one particular hot stock per se. If you're going to be buying the dip with a dollar cost averaging, whatever your risk level is across all of your portfolios, we can say, is this going to be some unique carve out that you may want to say, well, these dollars are going to be earmarked for my grandchild and I want to load up the 529 in this down market. That's a buying the dip, but it's now earmarked to something else, right? And I still go back to making sure they're not being too speculative. Don't buy one individual stock, right? My job is to make it boring enough to be effective, and let's come up with a strategy that makes sense to your situation, your family situation, but never a big fan of trying to bet it all on black.
Have you found that more people seek out wealth planners at a time when there's lots of volatility, or do they hide from wealth planners at a time when there's volatility? Because I think maybe some people think, like, you know, it's all falling down. I can do that all by myself. I can manage this.
I feel like we get a lot of our new clients during these down markets because we're actively talking to our clients and some other advisors aren't.
I think people reach out to you during markets like this because we realize that we're not brilliant. In a bull market, everybody is a brilliant investor. And when the markets start to fall, you realize, oh my God, I need some strategy.
There are two sides of volatility, up and down. Being up, I don't want you to make any changes. Being down, I don't want you to make any changes. But it's really part of my job to know which clients I may have to be talking down off the ledge versus which clients I know when I call them, they go, why are you calling me? Go talk to other people who really need your help. And knowing that relationship with each individual client matters.
So much of financial planning seems to be like carefully holding and comforting and managing expectations and metaphorical hugging and talking them off the ledge and telling them, you know, like, let's walk through the future here. Hold my hand. Is that sometimes how you see your job?
Oh, yeah. The best compliment I ever received was someone said, you know, you're like my financial bartender. I'm just going to sit at your bar. I'm going to talk to you. He goes, I always take what you say and I really ponder it. And that's the relationship we're trying to create with our clients. I try and remind them that this relationship isn't simply about investments or performance. There's so much more to wealth planning, right? So whether it's education, life insurance, long-term care, disability, mortgages, debt, all those fun things are really all-encompassing. And it's really our job, our role to say, what are the pieces of the pie that we need to be focusing on? And it's not always just down markets. If you do have questions or concerns, always feel free to reach out to us at 833-PLAN-EFE or go to the website at planefe.com.
Everyday Wealth with Soledad O'Brien and Gene Chatsky is sponsored by Edelman Financial Engines. To learn more, visit our website, everydaywealth.com.